Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Please open your Bibles to the book of James, the last part of chapter 5. James chapter 5, beginning in verse 13, reading through the end of the book. This is God's word. "Is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. Is anyone cheerful? He should sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? He should call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. Elijah was a human being as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the land. Then he prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and the land produced its fruit. My brothers and sisters, if any among you strays from the truth and someone turns him back, let that person know that whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Is anyone among you suffering? Not looking for a show of hands, but if any among you are suffering, you should pray. Is anyone cheerful? He should sing praises. You know, if you're not singing praises, the fact that you don't feel real cheerful is not a good excuse. But it's saying that whether we're going through difficult times or we're feeling really great, whatever circumstance we're in, we ought to be communicating with God about it. If you're suffering, talk to God. If you're happy, talk to God. These are extremes. And whether you're here or here, you need to be in communion with God. Then he says, "Is anyone among you sick?" This is not a protest against medicine, but just as we should turn to the Lord when we're cheerful and turn to the Lord when we're suffering, we should turn to the Lord when we are ill. He should call for the elders of the church and they're to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick person and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Wow. Does that really work? Yes. I've seen God do this. I've experienced instantaneous supernatural healing. And it was memorable. I also took my blood pressure medication this morning and a baby aspirin to thin my blood. This is not the only scripture that we have concerning the subject of sickness and healing. If it were the only scripture that speaks of this subject, then we would come to the conclusion that there's an inextricable link between sickness, death, and sin. And we can assign blame for the illness on people sinning. And if they don't get well, it must be because they don't repent. But this isn't the only passage that deals with sickness and with prayer and with healing. There's a lot more in Scripture. Now, I'm going to recommend to you a resource that can give you a fuller treatment of this subject and this passage than I'm going to be able to do this morning. Okay? It's called Embracing His Will. And it's one of three books on prayer written by a fella that I know pretty well. The author's name is Jim Wood.
That's your name, right?
Yeah, yeah. So in other words, I've written about this at greater length than I'm going to be able to share this morning. But I want you to get a few points about this briefly from the text. The prayer of faith that is spoken of here involves obedience. Prayers for healing, and I quote myself, prayers for healing should be offered in the context of loving Christian community, biblical church authority, and honest, repentant confession. And all of that is right here in the text. Okay? What does it say? Is anyone among you sick? He should call for the elders of the church. What is the obvious assumption? You're in a church. You're connected. You know who your elders are. You have a relationship not just with other believers in that church, but with the elders of that church, and therefore you are functioning in a biblical framework where people care about one another. And if you get a call from somebody as an elder who is ill, you're not wondering, who is this person? There's a shepherding relationship, a pastoral relationship. This is somebody who knows you and you know them. Sadly, many, many people profess faith in Christ and completely miss that dimension of biblical Christianity. They don't have that kind of relationship. They're not walking in a connected way with other believers.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
And is holding. If we're going to have biblical Christianity, we need to be in loving church environments where we're connected with other people, including those who are in leadership. Loving Christian community and biblical church authority call for the elders of the church. And they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Prayers for healing should be offered in the context of loving Christian community, biblical church authority, and honest, repentant confession. Repentant confession. Did you know there's a difference between just confessing and confessing in a repentant way? Yeah, I've got a bad temper. You know, it's just the way I am. My whole family, it goes back generations, I think. I really can't change. That's just... Well, that's confession, but it's not repentant. Let me tell you something. It's not enough to confess. It needs to be repentant confession. Not just, this is what I've done, but God help me, I don't want to do that anymore. In that context, healing is not supposed to be the exception to the rule. Healing should not be something that just we believe in, but not really. Healing is something God does. But God also, if you read the rest of the Bible, sometimes uses illness to accomplish great good, as in the case of the Apostle Paul, who pleaded with the Lord 3 times to take away the thorn in his flesh. And the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for you." In that case, his physical affliction prevented him from having a worse affliction, which is pride. When I was in my teens, many of you have heard me share this story before, so I'll attempt to do it in a compressed manner. But when I was in my teens, I got up from a sick bed where I was running a high fever, had a horrible strep infection, was taking penicillin to try and knock it out, but it wasn't knocked out. My throat was sore, my glands were swollen and painful to the touch. I had chest congestion. I don't think it was pneumonia, but it was definitely bronchitis. And my sinuses were so blocked that I couldn't breathe through my nose. But I got up to go to a prayer meeting at my friend Adger McKay's house. And Adger did what he usually did. After we'd worshiped the Lord a little bit, he invited people to offer prayer requests, and then he would pray. And on this occasion, when this person made a request, and he said, "Okay." And this person made a request, and he said, "Oh." He goes around, he gets to me. I was seated over here. And when he got to me, and I said, "I'd appreciate it if you'd pray for me, I'm sick," he jumped up out of his chair and put his hands on my head. And I felt like somebody had just hooked up jumper cables. It was like, Pentecostals call it sweet electricity, okay? It was like voltage coursing through my body. I was tingling all over. But it didn't hurt. It just was overwhelming. And I was instantly completely healed. I could breathe through my nose. My throat wasn't sore. There was no congestion in my chest. My glands were not swollen. They were not painful. I was instantly healed by the power of God. I know God can do that. I've experienced it personally, and I've seen God do that in others, and I've seen God answer prayer miraculously even when a person like me has prayed for somebody. But I've also prayed for people who died. And I've seen God allow people who were unrepentant to live a long time. And other people who were living godly lives, serving the Lord, taken from us as young adults. I don't understand, but I find all of those things consistent with the Scripture. Who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? God knows what he's doing. But this should inform our expectation. Well, okay, I'll call for the elders of the church, but I don't know what good that's going to do. Well, what does it say about the prayer of faith? Okay? If your faith is that you won't be healed, you may get what you're believing for. And if the elders show up and their attitude is, "Well, I've heard about this, I heard, but I, Anybody got any oil? I guess, how much do you use? I mean, I've never done this before. That's the tragic experience of tons of pastors. It's in the Word of God. But when American Christians get sick, they don't call for the elders of the church. We just don't. And by the way, my wife has said to me on occasion, you know, so-and-so's sick. Do you think you ought to go over there and pray? And I said, it says they're supposed to call. Okay? I mean, I'll call them and say, hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you. But this is a matter of obedience. Prayers for healing should be offered in the context of loving Christian community, biblical church authority, and honest, repentant confession. Have you ever, when you were sick, thought, I wonder if this is because I... Have you ever? I have. Well, let me just tell you, your sickness may not have been caused by that, but if you think it might have been, wouldn't it be smart to go ahead and repent of that? You know? Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Oh, that's why they don't call for the elders. Would you rather confess your sins to God or to one another? Me, I'd rather talk to God. He already knows. Okay? Other people might not think as well of me if I tell them some of the stuff God knows about me. Can you relate? But this says that if you want to get healed, you need to live in the light. You need to be in the context of loving Christian community, biblical authority, and honest, repentant confession. If I confess it to others, then they may actually do what the Bible says and kind of hold me accountable and help turn me away from sin. What does it say at the end of the passage? If any among you strays from the truth and someone turns him back, let that person know that whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. We're actually supposed to be helping each other on this journey because none of us is right all the time. And if we have a relationship with one another where we can be honest with each other about our struggles, it is tragic that many people find something closer to this in Alcoholics Anonymous than they do in the church. In AA, they can stand up and tell their name and say, I'm an alcoholic, and talk about what they're struggling with. And instead of being met with scorn and condemnation, they're met with understanding and acceptance. I'm not an alcoholic. I've never really been tempted to get drunk. That's not my issue. But I want you to understand that this is saying we're supposed to experience the power of God in our lives in the context of community, where we're honest with one another, not just about our strengths, but about our failures. And in that context, where sometimes it's embarrassing, sometimes it's really hard. But in that context, we see healing take place. We see God do supernaturally what couldn't be done otherwise. You see, the larger context, even just here in this passage, is a lifestyle of repentance. It's God doing what really matters and changing us to be like Him so that holiness and not just physical health is the goal. Do you understand that no matter how healthy your body is, it's not going to be your permanent residence? The Bible refers to it as an earthly tent that's wearing out, and eventually you're going to move out of that earthly tent. That's not to say that our bodies are completely useless. They're marvelously designed by God, and they have a wonderful purpose, and they point to His glory. My dad told me a story when I was a kid about a doctor who got saved in medical school studying the ear. The more he learned about the ear, the more God brought him to the point of realizing, okay, this is not chance. This is design. And all those people who told me I needed to be a man of science and not believe what I learned in Sunday school, they were wrong. If you look at this with eyes wide open, you see our bodies magnificently declare the glory of God. But let me tell you, as wonderful and as amazing as our bodies are, it's temporary. It's like a sunset. It's absolutely magnificent and it's going away. Okay? And so if you look at this passage and you get focused on what do I need to do in order to get physically healthy, I'm willing to follow the steps. It sounds like I need to join a church and be connected with a Christian community where I know who my elders are and I'm honest and I can confess my sins and I'm gonna try and do that and see if I can get my body well. Lazarus didn't just get healed. He died before Jesus showed up, and then Jesus raised him from the dead. And I guarantee you, when he came back, he didn't have the same sickness. And I have a real treat for you. We have arranged for graduation this year to have Lazarus come as our keynote speaker. You think? No, he's not out on the circuit anymore. He's not speaking. You can't even find him on YouTube. You know why? He's dead. So if you've got cancer and God heals you, that's wonderful. God does that. I've seen God do that. But you're still going to have to die from something. Don't act as if the focus here is the healing. It's not. You need to know that the prayer of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. Elijah was a human being, just as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain, and for three years and six months, it did not rain on the land. Then he prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and the land produced its fruit. Brothers and sisters, I mean, it's like, okay, so I can pray, and I can see God move. Yes, you can, and here's what you ought to be praying about. My brothers and sisters, if any among you strays from the truth and someone turns him back, let that person know that whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. That's the kind of thing we need to be concerned about. Which is more important, physical health or eternal destiny? What are you focused on? If God said, your choice, $10 billion, and you go to hell, or grinding poverty in this life, and you're going to enjoy paradise with me forever. Would you have to weigh that? Well, $10 billion is a lot of money. How long is forever? If you had $10 billion, you'd have this much time to spend it, and then forever to regret it. But whatever suffering we have in this life, it's temporary. We have brothers and sisters around the world who are being tortured for their faith. But when you visit some of the places where our brothers and sisters are suffering so much, many of them will tell you, we pray for the American church. Because from what we've heard, you all really need our prayers. They're right. It's not enough to be physically healthy. It's nice. I'm for it. You know? Sickness or health? Oh, I like the health part. But what matters is holiness. And that's what we need to be praying for.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.